Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. You know what I love, Copper?
What?
Grab the mic. I love it when we're doing something and it turns out that we're not alone in our thinking. Either that or they listen to our show and then they pick out what they're going to do.
But right now
I'm watching, and literally the storyline on Fox News is Biden's embarrassing week. How about that?
Yep. Sounds
I'm in the right. middle of a, but I like the title of mine better. Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not sure there's enough adjectives to describe it. So let me just move on to the next category. I tell you what, before I do that, though, I got to do this. I got to tell you about ZLA Solutions. So ZLA Solutions, by the way, one of our team members since the very beginning, is one of the best around at getting people back to work. And they have got jobs posted on their website right now, ZLAUSA.com, all over the Alabama. And if you're looking for a job, there they are. But if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, then once again, ZLAUSA.com, they can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. And they've got hundreds of people placed all around Alabama right now. Just had one of their best years ever. We were talking just the other day about that. And so I'm just telling you, if you're looking for a job or if you need to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, ZLA Solutions is your one-stop shop for that. ZLAUSA.com. Check them out. Hey, before I go on, then, I see I got a caller. So I tell you what, I'll grab that and let's see if it's on the same topic. Harry from Athens. Hey, Harry, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
This is Harry, and I've got a question about Hillary Clinton.
Okay, what you got?
She announces her candidacy, and how much fun we would have watching the national Democratic debate.
Well, we would, and you know what? Talk about Harry. Talk about a bad week for Biden. He's been questioned. Actually, Kamala Harris was questioned just the other day as to whether they'll even be on the ticket next time, and they're supposed to be like the shoe-ins, and it ain't happening, it appears.
Well, I can't imagine that Biden would not run again.
Well, one would hope not. I mean, I'm not sure that he knows what's happening most days. I mean, it just seems like, and I say that a little bit loosely, but same time, there are times when he really feels like he's out of his element, and I just cannot imagine him running for a second term.
Well, I think his pride is going to let him run again, but what I want to see is a Hillary and a Biden debate.
Oh, yeah, that would be a hoot, although I'm pretty sure right now he would yell at her and she would talk rings around him. Hey, Harry, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you over there in Athens. You are definitely a Right Side ruffian, and we appreciate having you in the audience. All right, listen, moving on with this topic, too. And you know, Harry's right. Hillary Clinton, they're talking about her. I tell you what, I'll go to the next story on that, because here's the next piece of the no good, very bad, super awful week for the Biden administration. Story this time came off of townhall.com. I don't know if you saw it or not. Kamala Harris did an interview. Now, Vice President Harris has not been having a run of good luck when it comes to media interviews. They, you know, there's that kind of epic, awkward laugh she does when she gets asked a question that she knows is already uncomfortable enough, and then she laughs, which is a nervous reflex. But it doesn't come across well. It almost comes across like she's trying to minimize it, which she is. That's what it is. It's the nervous reflex of trying to minimize the moment while you also gather your thoughts so you laugh. Well, the laugh is, it's gotten to be kind of a cackle. Well, she wasn't laughing much in this interview. Townhall.com, dated 2 days ago, part of the same week, the no good, very bad, super awful week, says that she had this interview and I watched a part of it. And wow. In the interview, she was on Today's Show. A guy named Craig Melvin was interviewing her. And it was one of those things where I bet, and I cannot help but imagine, I bet that she went in and there was, I'm sure, her press staff tried to screen what the discussion was going to include. They thought they had a reasonably allied source, being the Today Show. And it didn't go the way she wanted. At one point, Craig Melvin asks the vice president, he says, at what point does the administration say, you know what, the strategy regarding COVID, the strategy isn't working. We're going to change to different strategies. He said he pointed out that six former administration officials had already written an open letter urging the administration to change their course. And she got this deer in the headlight looks. Like you could see her staring at him. And it was one of two things. It was a, oh, crap, I didn't know he was going to ask that. Or it was an, oh, crap, I told him not to ask that. It was one or the other. But she had this moment where you can tell in her eyes, this is not what she was expecting. Now what do I do? And the most unintelligible answer, in fact, Tucker did a thing on it last night, and it was, here's her quote, deer in the headlights, followed by, well, it's time for us to do what we've been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down. And so right now we know we still have a number of people that is in the millions who have not been vaccinated and could be vaccinated, and we're urging them to get vaccinated because it will save their life. That's her answer. What does it mean when you say it's time for us to do what we have been doing and that time is every day? Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things. What does that mean? Well, what that means is she was completely caught off guard. And then it kept getting worse. He asked her about the 500 million COVID tests that were supposed to be mailed out that the president had already announced were coming, and she didn't have an answer because, not surprisingly, the article goes on to point out they have not yet even been sent. She didn't have any clarity at all. She goes, they're going to go out shortly. He asked if that meant next week. She said, they've been ordered. They've been ordered. We have to look at the current information. I think it's going to be by next week, but soon, absolutely soon. It's a matter of urgency for us. To which her staff had to backtrack later and provide clarification because it made her look foolish that it's going to be sometime later this month, if not February. God almighty. Vice President of the United States. And then it got even more awkward in the no good, very bad, super awful week with the interview for the vice president when she was asked flat out by this guy, Craig Melvin, if she was even going to be able to run for office in 2024. Can you imagine? It's that bad that the liberal media is already dissing on you before you even finish your first year in office, asking if you're going to run again, because in essence, they're probably hoping you're not. So he flat out asked her, are we going to see the same Democratic ticket in 2024? And the article says, and I saw it, and it's true, after a brief awkward silence, she said, quote, I'm sorry, we're thinking about today. I mean, honestly, I know why you're asking the question, because this is part of the punditry and the gossip around places around Washington, D.C. Let me just tell you something. We're focused on the things in front of us. We're what we need to address issues like affordable child anyway. And so he cut her off and he said, there will be no conversations about 2024. And she said, the American people sent me here to do a job and there's a lot to do. So anyway, that, folks, is a train wreck interview. Now, I have had some, you know, in my limited political experience, and I loved it, by the way, 8 years in the Alabama State Senate was cool. And you wind up doing lots of media. And, you know, and I would do, and I had some contentious radio call-ins myself when I would call in and have the host disagree with a conservative position I'd taken, and they'd want to wear me out on it, and I'd give it back to them. But I was engaged and able to have the debate. It's really not good when the vice president of the United States, number two in line for the nuclear codes, doesn't know what to say. And you can tell she's caught off guard. Like, what did they do to prepare her for this conversation? What? This is supposed to be the position in life where you're going to know the answers before you go to the test, if you know what I'm saying. You're not going to find out when you get there what it is that they want to talk about. Now, they can Barbara Walters you all day long and come up with the zingers that you didn't know were coming and sort of trap you into it. But nonetheless, you should be a little more eloquent and capable of, you know, elucidating your opinion if you're vice president of the entire free world. All right. More of this. We got a break we got to take, but the no good, very bad, super awful week for the Biden administration just kept on going, even to the point, and I'll tell you when I get back, even to the point that President Biden came out of meeting with the Democrats in the Senate and basically shouted at everybody at the microphone for a few minutes. And I don't mean like a little bit. I saw it. It was like, oh, man. Old boy's having himself a moment. Ugh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right in the middle of Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Copper, I swear Fox News is like stalking us. They're like, so I'm looking right now. What did I just finish talking about? Kamala Harris, right? That whole thing with her interview. I'm looking over at the screen. There's Brian Kilmeade. The storyline is Kamala's image reset, trying to revamp because of all of her blunders.
Nice.
I just, you know, I don't want to brag or anything, but I feel like, you know, people are trying to copy us or something. I just
get that.
Yeah, well, why not, right? Solid conservative and apparently just plain right, because, yeah, anyway, all right, it's enough of that, that snarkiness. Okay, so the bottom line is this, folks, I got to tell you, if you have not already done so, you have got to consider Just Love Coffee Cafe. People, I'm just telling you, the menu there is so cool. And this, what a great weekend this is going to be. We're looking at snow in the forecast. So I'm saying that what better time than maybe tomorrow morning to get up on a Saturday morning and go, hey, you know what? Let's don't dirty up any dishes at the house. Let's go to Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Have some berry, berry, berry waffles. Oh, yeah. Get you a latte or a macchiato or something else, or just a good, hot, steaming cup of black coffee from freshly ground beans with all their award-winning dry roasts. So listen, their menu, bar none. Get you an omelet, get you a wrap. You can have breakfast for dinner. I mean, it's great. I love Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. So moving back into the final section here of the Triple Dipper, which is Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. Right before I went to the break, I said, you know, part of how you can tell how bad it's getting is by, earlier it was Jen Psaki, you know, smarting off at the podium during a professional press briefing. It was the ACLU staffer screaming at everybody on Twitter, go after her, talking about Kyrsten Sinema, keep going, she's going to break. You know, meaning we've got to make her life miserable because she's not doing what we want. By the way, story on Fox I saw a moment ago that says that that they're literally targeting her with names like racist bigot and that kind of stuff. I mean, they don't seem to recall that she herself was a liberal activist. She was a Green Party activist. She was an LGBTQ activist. And so all of this to say, it's amazing to me how quickly they will turn on someone. The next thing that happens, though, is Biden himself went to the podium, and it was awkward. It was awful. Now, by the way, if I were him, I think I would have been uptight too. But keep in mind, you're the president of the United States, the leader of the free world. You're supposed to be professional at all times. There are stress factors in that life that I cannot imagine. I mean, did you see Obama's hair when he got in office and Obama's hair when he got out? He went gray in the time he was in office. And maybe that was natural, but I suspect that it was largely because of the job. I can't imagine some of the things they have to, you know, make decisions on at 3 a.m. But you still expect a little more, like at a broad daylight presser when you walk out. But what happened was Kyrsten Sinema had just trashed his hopes of getting another agenda item done on the same day the Supreme Court was smacking him down on his ridiculous mandates on the vaccines. And President Biden walked out, got the article right here, Daily Wire, and I saw the video. Wow, y'all. And I'm not trying to overhype it. Go watch it. In the video, he comes to the podium and he starts basically fussing at the press first. He goes, you all ask questions about complicated subjects like, can you get this done? And he took his face mask off. He goes, I hope we can get this done. The honest to God answer is, I don't know whether we can get this done. Is this mic on? I guess, anyway, I'm not sure. Anyway, I hope we can get this done, but I'm not sure. And then he went on to say, we missed this time. But then all of a sudden he began attacking a state legislatures who he's mad at because they're changing election laws in certain places. And he literally began to shout. Watch the video. I'm not making it up. He says, the state legislative bodies continue to change the law, not as to who can vote, but who gets to count the vote. And then he began yelling, count the vote! Count the vote! And it was just weird. And so this is the culmination of the first 4 days of Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. But it just kept going, y'all. He has members of his cabinet that they're calling on to resign. He has members of his cabinet or his senior advisors who get caught on hot mics calling senators morons. He has approval ratings which have fallen into the lowest levels in modern history of any first-year president. I'm going to tell you about all of that in a minute when we get back. It ain't good, y'all. I mean, if you're Jen Psaki, you've got a job from which there is no relief, and there are not enough Rolaids in the world. It's just something else right now. We're going to come back to a break here in just a minute, but when we do that, I'm going to finish unpacking this for you. And if you want to call in and talk about this or anything else we've covered today, go ahead and call us, 866-494-9866, here on a Friday afternoon drive time as you're heading home. I know some of y'all got the car keys in your hands. Some of you are already out there on the roads making your way to the house. And God bless you and have a great week. But the Biden administration, Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. Can it get worse? Yeah, actually it already has. I'll tell you about his ratings and what they're saying about it when we get back from this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, let me just pause a moment and tell you, our newest team member, Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, I was emailing back and forth with James Vandergriff from Vandy's this morning. Just really appreciate his service, and thank you for your service, James, if you're listening. A veteran of Afghanistan, Vandy's is an owner-operated, veteran-owned business right here in our community. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. It serves Huntsville, Madison, all the surrounding areas, and they're like basically your one-stop shop for all your HVAC repairs, gas or electric. And this is one of the coolest things for me, aside from the fact that I love small business, small veteran-owned businesses especially, they're open 6 days a week. You don't see that very often. So if your air goes out on a Friday night, you can call them and have somebody come out on a Saturday. That is awesome. So the guys at Vandy's, they're not going to upsell you on things you don't need. In fact, they're going to come out and give you a free estimate. And like I said, Vandy's, owner-operated, veteran-owned business. And since they, you know, since James came home from serving his country in uniform, being downrange and all, he has decided to keep serving his community by giving the best quality care and service he can think of for HVAC. So listen, call him today, Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. If you need something, it's 256-225-7311. That's 256-225-7311, Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. And by the way, all these advertisers that are sponsors on our show, the ones that I read out to you, if you forget how to get hold of them, a lot of them you can go to our website, and that's rightsideradio.org, and we've got it posted on there. They're, all of our team members, our sponsors, are on there with their logo. You can click on their logo. It goes direct to their website. In case you forget how to contact them based on their own information, you can always remember rightsideradio.org, and you'll find them again that way. Hey, listen, I got a caller. Oh, yeah, it's Kirby. Kirby from Harvest here on a Friday afternoon. Kirby, how you doing today?
Oh, fine. You doing all right?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind today?
I just wanted to add something that also fits into the picture you're talking about with things going wrong with Joe Biden. Actually, I was listening to Mark Levin, and he was interviewing a fellow named Glenn Beck the other night.
Right.
And they were talking about, now they were talking about the people you don't hear their names usually. They're the people with all the big money, the people who, well, I mean big, big, big money, you know, $1 million is pocket change to them. They plan to try to get us where no one can own property down the road. I mean, they're not stopping working on what they're doing at all. And if Joe Biden and Kamala go out of the way, that's not going to stop them. I would recommend all y'all that know the Lord out there, you know, read what the Lord says, what Paul said about people will be deceiving and being deceived. You know, the biggest danger of being involved in deception is you deceive yourself, and when you deceive yourself, you've lost your bearing, you can't get back to truth. And we're living in an age now, y'all, where truth is just nowhere to be found. And you know, evil men, imposters, will become worse and worse. It's not going to get better. The best thing we can do, you know, study basic scriptures like Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. You've probably heard this section called the Olivet Discourse. And really keep short accounts with the Lord, because I just feel like it's probably going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better.
Well, you know, I don't doubt that, Kirby, and scripturally speaking, we know that as we get closer to the day, that they say it will get worse. Scripture says it will get worse. Romans 1:22, I think it is, says, and thinking themselves wise, they had indeed become fools, meaning they professed their own wisdom, but in reality, they had reached foolishness. And yep. Hey, Kirby, thanks so much
saying,
for that.
I'm not Go saying ahead. Throw away your optimism, okay, but our optimism is in that Jesus is coming back. I mean,
that's
now
exactly
things
right.
are going to start getting really a lot better when he...
That's exactly right. Did we lose him? Oh, he just dropped
I'm
off.
I'm still here.
Okay, there you are. I'm sorry. Part of your sentence went away. But Kirby, you are right, man. That is the hope. That is where hope is vested. And I appreciate you, man. As always, you have a great weekend, okay? All right, that's Kirby from Harvest, one of our regular callers, and always providing that assurance perspective, and I certainly appreciate that. Hey, listen, there's plenty more on this whole thing about Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week. If you want to call in and talk about that or anything else we've talked about, 866-494-9866. And hey, I'll tell you too, by the way, I just texted back and forth with Travis from over at Just Love Coffee. He reminded me, and I just went and found the email. Sure enough, they have gotten all of their staffing shortages have been, you know, taken care of, which is awesome. I mean, what a great place to work. I've seen the staff there. They all seem to enjoy each other's company. And they've got their hours now. It's basically Friday through Saturday. And on Fridays, on the weekdays, Monday through Friday, they're open 6 in the morning to 8 at night. On Saturdays, they're open 7 to 8. And, oh, they're open on Sundays also, Sundays 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. So, yeah, they're open 7 days a week. There you go, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8, Saturday, 7 to 8, Sunday, 7 to 5. Just Love Coffee Cafe. All right, hey, I got another caller on the line. I'll take it right now. Line 3, Mark from Somerville. Hey, Mark, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you today?
Good, Phil. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks. What's on your mind?
I just want to talk about Joe Biden and all his heavy, bad weeks he's had and everything. You know, it really kind of stinks that karma comes back to get you. That's all I got to say about that. This whole party is in such a shambles, and they're doing it to themselves.
Well, they are. You know, they're basically, it's all self-inflicted wounds, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and it's getting steadily worse by the minute. It's kind of funny to watch.
Now well,
they're
it
going
is
against themselves, and the fake news is doing the same, going against them too.
Well, it is when you see the mainstream media turning on them, they've really gone too far at that point. But
you ain't thanks. Kidding, you're not lying.
Hey, Mark, thanks for your call, man. Have a great weekend. All right. Listen, other things that are happening in the Biden no good, very bad, super awful week because there's more. Like, for instance, so, you know, the guy that I can't figure out why they keep putting him out in front, why do they think, I mean, have they not noticed what a lightning rod Dr. Fauci has become? Now maybe because of his position, you know, at the NIH, maybe because of his position, he's still going to be called upon by Congress or whatever else. But why do they keep bringing into press conferences? You think at some point they'd say, we got to get a new face, man. Somebody who's not so polarizing. Somebody who's not just like the poster boy for everything gone wrong in COVID response. Well, they keep bringing him out. They keep trotting Fauci out there. And Fauci's not been doing too well, at least recently, testifying in front of members of Congress or the Senate. And so recently he got into it again with Rand Paul, and it did not go well. Keep in mind, this is all part of Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week, because what's happening right now is the complete lack of respect being shown to the Biden administration on the Hill is a direct result of the manner in which they've been conducting themselves. Well, part of that is Fauci, who recently was questioned about some of his own financial filings, because being a public official, they're required to have financial filings. And he got questioned on that. Who was it that questioned him? Senator Roger Marshall, Republican of Kansas, did not appreciate the fact that after questioning him on this, Fauci turned away from the microphone, thinking his microphone was off, and said, "What a moron," and then took the Lord's name in vain. So basically he was talking about the senator. So the senator is dropping in a bill. The bill is called the Financial Accountability for Uniquely Compensated Individuals. If you look at that, that's an acronym for Fauci. It's going to be called the Fauci Act. That's where we are in Capitol Hill right now. But let me tell you something. I saw this in Montgomery once. I actually was in the midst of this. So former State Representative Craig Ford was the minority leader in the House. He was the Democrat who was always making trouble. He was the Democrat who was always sort of, you know, you didn't know what he was going to do next. And then inexplicably one day, I don't know why, but he brought a bill that would, you know, deal with the criminal penalties for bestiality. I'm not going to go into detail, all right? Just take it for what it's worth. But it was one of those bills is like, who wants to carry this bill? Why they got Craig Ford carrying this bill? What? A bestiality bill. Well, he had made so many enemies along the way that I was in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I was the vice chair for Senate Judiciary. I was the chairman of a Fiscal Responsibility Committee and vice chair of Judiciary. The chairman at the time was Senator Cam Ward. And Cam Ward had so had it with Craig Ford, Representative Ford, on something else, that in the middle of the committee meeting, Chairman Cam Ward said, "I tell you what I think is necessary here. This is important. I'm going to add an amendment to this bill in committee. I want to name this the Craig Ford Bestiality Bill." To which Senator Phil Williams, me, I said, "I will second that." And we got it renamed the Craig Ford Bestiality Bill. That's the level of respect that Fauci has. And Fauci, by the way, is working for the President of the United States. That's part of the Biden no good, very bad, super awful week. Well, it gets worse. It just keeps going. How about this one? Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona. 41 Republicans as of 2 days ago. 41 Republicans have signed a letter demanding the president fire him. Because what we found out this week, remember that whole thing about the National Association of School Boards sending a letter to the Biden administration calling on investigations into parents who would go to school board meetings and dare to speak their mind about their children's education and calling them domestic terrorists? And then the DOJ actually said they were opening investigations under Merrick Garland's authority. Well, it came out this week that apparently that letter that came from the National School Board Association that started all of this, it came at the request of Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona. He apparently, in his usual activist way, because he's always been an activist, folks, he always has. That's the kind of cabinet appointees that Biden has. But he is apparently now being discovered through emails that were received in Freedom of Information request that literally he is the one who solicited. He's the one who solicited the letter that became the catalyst for investigating parents who would dare to speak out about their children's education. And yet he had been denying it, and the Biden administration had been denying that they had any involvement in this whatsoever. It was a simple thing. It's a coincidence that we went forward with the DOJ investigations. We had no idea. Yes, you did. You're Secretary of Education. You're a cabinet member. You're appointee. is the one. And now 41 Republicans have sent a letter to the governor, to the president, demanding that he fire his Secretary of Education. Well, folks, it keeps on going. And, you know, I've got another one here where, like, Rochelle Walensky from the CDC had a horrible moment in the press. But I'm going to come back from this break we're about to take right now. And I'm going to play you the final clip. The final clip of the day. A discussion about Joe Biden's approval ratings, because they are now being called epic. His approval ratings have plummeted to perhaps the lowest in modern history of any president in a first year. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Friday afternoon, 4:48 p.m. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right, and so glad that you are our audience. We have a great audience. I mean, I've got a thing right up here above me that I look at every day. It just says it's an honor to have this platform, and it is. And we have this opportunity because of y'all, and the show has become successful because of y'all. And I say that with all sincerity. It is with deep appreciation that Copper and I and Birdman, who's not necessarily in the studio, but he's a part of the team, that we certainly know that we have this show because we have y'all as an audience. So thank you very much, and we pray you're going to have a great weekend. Copper, go ahead and double-check you got clip two ready to roll, because here's the deal, y'all. As we look at the end of this clip, this end of this segment on Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week, I will just tell you that it's not any better for him. In fact, story just came out in the last 40 minutes while I'm on the air. Republicans, a memo was leaked, and you can imagine it was probably leaked on purpose. But next Thursday is the anniversary, the one-year anniversary of the Biden administration is when he was sworn in. He took office 1 year ago next Thursday. Yay. But the story was published that Republicans are planning a major sort of a recounting of what they call Biden's first year of failure. Now, granted, I have no illusions. I know that Republicans are not going to want to tout anything successful of a Biden administration or a Democrat administration, and vice versa is to be expected, right? However, I mean, you heard me talk about this week alone. I mean, in my opinion, politically speaking, this year has been a dumpster fire for the Democrat Party, an absolute dumpster fire. It's a dumpster fire floating down a flooded road. It's a dumpster fire floating down a flooded road on the way to a cliff. It's a dumpster fire floating down a flooded road on the way to a cliff with, you know, nothing to stop it. It's amazing. And so this article on Fox that I'm looking at right now says, as we approach the one, this is Representative Jim Banks, who wrote the memo to the Republican Study Committee. He says, as we approach the one-year anniversary of Biden's inauguration, we will, of course, reflect on the policy failures of the administration, and there are a lot of them. Yes, there are. Well, it's manifesting itself in his polling. So a recent poll by Quinnipiac University, and by the way, Quinnipiac is not known for being a conservative poll. Quinnipiac is very awkwardly sometimes overly skewed towards what I would call the more liberal candidates or the more liberal elected officials. Well, it reveals now that Biden's numbers have fallen again. He is now at an approval rating of just 33%. That's epic low levels. 53% of Americans totally disapprove of his job performance. This is down even further than the last time it was asked. In November, he was at 36. So that's November. The month of December happens. They poll it again. He comes into an early January report finding out he dropped 3 points in 1 month. This is like, in polling world, this is epic bad. Copper, there's some discussion on clip two. Kayleigh McEnany is discussing this on the Five, or no, I take it back, with Harris Faulkner. Play clip two for us, Copper.
Dozen times This is the most divisive president I have seen in the last two decades, especially when you look at the numbers. When you drill down into them, that Quinnipiac poll, the left-wing poll, he's decided to pivot to division. I agree with Douglas Murray. That speech that he gave was one of the most divisive I have heard, saying if you oppose the federalizing of elections, if you oppose it, you are essentially a segregationist. Meanwhile, his vaccine message is the unvaccinated have a right to be angry at the vaccinated. This is division, division, division. And Americans are noticing it because in Quinnipiac, asked, is he uniting us or dividing us? 49% said dividing. 42% said unifying. So Americans are recognizing this strategy, and I hope the administration's recognizing the five-alarm fire they have on their hands with Quinnipiac, left-wing polling organization who said Andrew Gillum was going to be the governor of Florida. He's not. It's Ron DeSantis. But that poll, left-wing poll, in my view, showing 33% approval. I was stunned when I saw that and had to double check the numbers. That's a five alarm fire. It's going to invite primary challengers and probably more than one, if I had to guess.
That's an interesting thought. If they're already talking about primarying the sitting president of the United States before his first year anniversary, that's epic. So, folks, let me just say this. Do I have a conservative talk show? Yes. Am I a conservative Republican? Yes, I am. I was an elected Republican myself. I obviously have a bias. I freely admit it. This show is designed to be a conservative opinion talk show. However, what I just gave you there was a segment, a clip, if you will, an audio plus the storylines to go with it, to show that the world is seeing it that way. By the way, everything I quoted in this whole section of Biden's no good, very bad, super awful week, I use quotes from them themselves. What did Kamala Harris say? I told you what she said. What did Biden say? I told you what he said. All of it added up to the rest of the world seeing exactly what I'm telling you. That it was a no good, very bad, super awful week, capstoning a no good, very bad, super awful year for a dumpster fire in the presidency. It's not good. I'm glad we're conservatives, but folks, we got to keep our head on a swivel, our powder dry, and we got to say, not on my watch. We got to get busy, get active, because 2022 midterms are coming, and we want the right people in it to go up to D.C. and try to make some changes and down to Montgomery to do the things we need done. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. We'll be back on Monday. You guys have a great weekend.